Acts 24, beginning at verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener, and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Many and varied are the responses of people when confronted by the Lord Jesus Christ about his claims on their lives. Sometimes those responses take the form of just downright indifference. People come and go and they just don't want to know. They come to church maybe because their parents have urged them to come, or maybe because a friend has kept asking them so often. But they come and go, and whenever the claims of the Lord Jesus are set before them, they're not really interested. And then other people, they have another response. They become very uncomfortable in a service because the Lord in his word seems to be coming very near to them, and they don't like the Lord dealing with them, as he will always do, no matter how great the crowd, on a one-to-one basis. And so there's a reticence there. They're very uncomfortable. And then other people who come to church at times, whenever they hear the word of God and have a service, say, like this, they may not be used to a service like this, and they find it all very interesting. And they say, "Oh, church is not as bad as what I thought it would be, even though it goes on a bit longer sometimes." And then there are other people, and their response is not like any of those responses. Their response is, "Well, I don't need all of this religion stuff, this born-again business. I have my church. I have been religious to a degree, and if not religious," they say, "well, I'm as good as any religious person. I'm a good upright citizen. As for those religious hypocrites, if you knew about them what I know." And you get all of these types of varied responses. None of these responses was the response of Felix, the Roman governor, who presided over a hearing that concerned the Apostle Paul. Rather, his response was quite different. We learn of it in verse 25. As he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. That was the response. The word of God had made a mighty impact in his life. I want you to picture the scene. Felix was the Roman governor. He had all the might of the great Roman Empire behind him. He was a mighty man, affluent, influential. He certainly was a wicked man. But here's a man who now is coming face to face with the claims of another king, the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. And whenever he hears those claims set out by God's ambassador, the Apostle Paul, this man trembled. And I want to say that this still happens today. There are people that sit in gospel services, and when the word of God is proclaimed, they do tremble. And that is not a bad response to a bad feeling to experience, or a bad response to make. So for the short time that I have left tonight, I want to talk to you, and I want you to think with me about the trembling of Felix. There are two things about it. First of all, the occasion of it. How did it all come about? Well, first of all, there's the investigation he made. Notice verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. He had already met Paul. He already heard the accusations that were made by the Jewish leaders against Paul. But now he's showing an interest and he's asking for Paul. He's requiring that Paul be brought out of his quarters of confinement and brought before him that he might hear him specifically concerning the faith that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that there were more like that. Oh, that men and women and young people throughout this borough would have the same desire, that they would go to Christian people, that they would ask them, tell me more about the Lord Jesus. There are things that I don't understand about being saved. What is this born again business? Tell me more. And oh, that more people would come and ask us about these matters. Whether it was based on curiosity or interest is unclear. Or it may have been a combination of both. However, he did have a good knowledge of Christianity. Notice verse 22. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way. Now that little phrase, that way, occurs several times in the book of Acts. And it has reference to the Christian life. Paul recognizes that Felix knows a fair bit about this. And ladies and gentlemen, it is good to have and to indicate and to develop an interest in Christ. Like Zacchaeus, who when he heard that the Lord Jesus was passing through, climbed up into a sycamore tree for to see the Lord Jesus, for the Lord was to pass by. He had heard so much about him, and he wanted to see him and learn something of him. Is there anybody like that here? You may have had your preconceived ideas of what Christianity is all about. You do not know anything about the Lord Jesus Christ except you hear his name blasphemed by people and by entertainers. And so tonight when you come to church where the Bible is preached, you hear about him. He's the central theme. Everything is geared around him and to him. And you're beginning to develop an interest. We'll pursue it. Be like Felix, seek for more knowledge of him and the Christian life and what that Christian life means when it's lived out in day-to-day living. But there was a second thing. Not only the occasion, or not only the investigation he made, that caused him, that was the start that led up to his trembling, but there was something else, and this mainly caused him to tremble, and that is the communication that he heard. Notice verse 25. And as he, that is Paul, reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. Now I want you to notice that this was a rational communication. That was not a harangue. It was not a lambasting session. It was well thought out. It was logically presented. And it's what was an answer to what Felix sought and inquired about. And I want to say to you that Christianity is not for the mindless. No matter how much the opposers and the detractors of the gospel claim, Christianity is a rational thing. It appeals to the mind. The mind has to be informed. The mind has to be convinced. And then the will respond. And then the heart will overflow. Paul gave it to him like that, in a rational way. But it was not only a rational communication, it was a faithful one. Notice what he did. He reasoned of righteousness. That's what Felix needed. This was an evil man, a cruel man, a wicked man, a man who was despicable in character and conduct. And the righteousness that he needed could only come through faith in Christ, and especially through the righteousness that the Lord Jesus Christ had obtained when he died on the cross at Calvary. That's what Calvary's about, among other things. It's the obtaining of a righteousness for us. The life of Christ on earth lived the Lord obtained a righteousness upon our believing in Him and His death at Calvary, that righteousness is imputed to us. He needed righteousness. He reasoned not only of righteousness, but of temperance. And that word doesn't mean a mild alcoholic consumption, just drinking maybe in a social way. It's got nothing to do with that as such. It would include that. But it means self-restraint. It means self-control. It means discipline. Just exactly what Felix was not practicing, because the woman that he had by his side, she was a young wife that he took away from another husband. And before this wife, Drusilla, married the other husband, there was also a marriage before that again. So this young girl, she was quite young, quite beautiful, but she had no qualms, no moral standards. And Paul now is reasoning not only of righteousness, but of moral restraint, of discipline, and bridling passion. Is it any wonder he's beginning to tremble? And then we learn that he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. That's the inevitable consequence of a life of lasciviousness, a life lived apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, judgment to come. Now you think of the apostle. He might have said, well, there's no hope of me being released if I don't pull a few punches here, if I don't hold back. After all, this is the man who has it in his power to release me. If I go easy and be very positive and not talk about these things, I have a better chance of getting off. But Paul was made of sterner stuff. And Paul showed the inevitable consequences of sin by saying, there is judgment to come. And my hearer, Paul was right. He wrote elsewhere in Hebrews 9, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. He said to the Athenians on Mars Hill, God hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. This judgment will be universal. It would take in Felix. This judgment would be impartial because the judgment would be according to righteousness. There would be no deals done then, no bribes offered and taken. Nothing worked out in chambers. This would all be out in the open, and God would be the judge, and therefore the judgment be impartial. But it was not only universal, not only impartial, but it was frightful. Felix would be called to account for all the cruelties that he performed, for his immorality that he practiced. There was a day coming that God would demand an account. And whenever Paul talked about this day of judgment, when all mankind will stand before the Almighty and go under His searching gaze, that's when Felix trembled. The occasion of his trembling, the investigation he made, the communication he heard. And I'm wondering tonight in this service or in services gone by, has the mighty power of God's Word been felt by you? Are you trembling? It's nothing to be ashamed of. We read in the Bible of good men trembling. Moses trembled. Daniel trembled. Paul himself trembled. So it's hardly unlikely then that Felix would get off hearing such preaching and not tremble. Has God been speaking to you? And is there a shaking going on in your spirit and in your life tonight? The occasion of his trembling. Would you notice, lastly, the outcome of his trembling? How did it end up? Well, there were two things. First of all, there was the abrupt dismissal of Paul. Verse 25, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered. Oh, it has come so quickly. Felix is sitting there, and he's listening to the preacher, and he's trembling at what he heard. And very quickly, he breaks off all communication, all inquiry. He rises up, and he talks to Paul. He says, go your way, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for you. seems to have happened so quickly. They call it these days a knee-jerk reaction. Up and away. Got away from the place of conviction and power. He says, I'll talk to you another time. We'd love to say, Felix, why are you going? He might have said, well, I'm busy. I'm looking after the affairs of state. And who could deny that he was busy? But his busyness suited him at this particular time. And maybe you said tonight, yes, I feel the power of God. I come into these services, but I'm busy too, and I'm too busy to think about these things. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world, lose his own soul? Or he might have said, as he did say, well, the circumstances are not conducive, Paul. When I have a convenient season, when circumstances are more to my liking, I'll send for you. It's a pity he wasn't aware of what Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, that he that regardeth the clouds will not sow or reap. The wind and the clouds, if you regard that, if you're always looking for the ideal conditions, you'll never get them. But that didn't seem to appeal to Agrippa. There was something else about the man. This convenient season may not come for him. He could die before it came. Or if it came, he may not have the same feelings that he has now. He may not be concerned. Or if he did, God may not take him. You remember the other Sunday morning, those of you who were here, we looked at Proverbs chapter 1. And we saw what God said whenever people despise his pleadings. Listen for a moment if you will. Because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regardeth. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. This, my dear friend, was true in the case of Felix, that the convenient season did not come for him. And it may not come for you. You young ones may say tonight, I have a lot to see in life, a lot to do, of my studies to carry on, of my career to settle. No, my dear friend, put first things first. People have been saying that who have gone through all their studies. They have even come to the very end of their career and they're not saved yet. If you're trembling, if you have concern, you settle this matter tonight. The abrupt dismissal of Paul. And then the awful degradation of Felix. Notice verse 26. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Here's a man trembled at the power of God's word. But now he's recovering himself. He says, when I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. And he says, if I hold on to this prisoner, I may be able to get some money out of him. He may not have anything himself, but he has friends. Maybe some in Jerusalem, maybe some in Caesarea, and they can pay for him to get him out. Does that not tell you what a debased creature this man Felix is? If justice decrees that Paul was innocent, why did he not let him go? Why look for money to set him free? But there was something else we're told. He sent for Paul the oftener. Wherefore? And there's the reason. He kept sending for Paul again, maybe communing with him, but hoping all the time that he would be able to invite a bribe, that he would fish for a bribe, that he would try to get Paul to go along the line and say, I'll pay you if you let me out of this place. But Paul was not of that mind. He communed with him often, but there was no trembling now, no concern. There is a line unseen by us that crosses every path. The hidden boundary between God's mercy and God's wrath. There is a time I know not when, a place I know not where, that seals the destiny of men for glory or to despair. Had Felix crossed it? Are you crossing it? Was there a time in this church or the old church or even in another church when the word of God was going forth with such power that you trembled? But that was years ago. And still you've come to listen to the gospel. Still you hear the word of God night by night. But it's not the same now. There is no interest now. No concern. Have you crossed the deadline? See how further he was degraded. If you look at the last verse, but after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. How low can you get, knowing that he was innocent, trembled under the word that he brought, and now his heart has gone so far in the opposite direction, he has no regard for justice at all. My hear, you can do two things tonight by your response. If you have concern and are willing not to accept Christ as your Savior, you can do two things. By your decision, you can go far along that road that takes you away from God and sets you on a course of sin and wickedness. And then at the end of it all, the second thing, go to hell. You can set out on the course tonight of sin that will take you away from God, and you can seal your doom by the decision you make. As we close, let me help you to make the right decision tonight. What have you to gain by holding out on God? What have you to gain by holding on to your sin? This, to my mind, was the main reason why Felix did not want to respond positively to Paul that day, because of his sin, his lifestyle, living in wickedness with Drusilla and she with him. Things would have to change. This man wanted to hold on to his sin. Let me say this to you. The Lord can deliver you from that, give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. And this concern that you have even now is of the Lord out of love for you. And think of who it is who's confronting you. The Lord of glory himself. The King of kings and Lord of lords. The one who has died and agonized and shed his atoning blood on the cross for sinners. The vilest of us. And who has risen from the dead and is alive forevermore. And willing to save you now. Felix trembled. How about you? What will be the outcome of your concern, your response? Will you choose wisely? Let's bow together in prayer. Remember, the Lord Jesus, he's the only one who can save, and it's his claims that are being presented to you now. Take care that you refuse not him that speaketh. Lord, bless thy word by thy Spirit to us tonight. Continue to work in our midst for thy holy name's sake. Amen.